to you this evening. We're in this series that I believe is very, very critical and applicable to each and every one of our lives, every minute of our life. There's always adjustments that we have to make. And it doesn't matter if you're at work or if you're at church or if you're roping out on the lake, especially on the 4th of July, you got to make adjustments. You're going to run into somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so adjustments are very, very important. And we can either make good adjustments that really help us and that they benefit us, or we can make adjustments that are detrimental to our life and to the, as we say, the prosperity of our soul. Some bad adjustments. Anybody ever make some bad adjustments or bad choices in your life and it's like,
what was I thinking? Well, I wasn't thinking, right?
I wasn't thinking. So I want to talk to you this evening about attitude adjustments and how important it is that we don't run from making adjustments with our attitude. Now, I've got a dog at the house, and I've talked to him and talked to y'all about him every once in a while, and he's bred to be a cow dog, and he thinks he's a cow dog, but truthfully, he's just a problem. because he's a great dog when he's in the house. He's a great dog. He's a fun dog. He listens and he minds very well. But when he gets around cattle or he gets around them horses, you can call him and he'll look up at me and he'll like, pfft, you know. And I imagine if that dog could talk, he would say this: I was born for this. Leave me alone. Or, this is the way God made me. Who are you to tell me that I'm not right? If my dog could talk, that's what he would say. But what my dog needs, and I give it to him every once in a while, he needs a shock collar. And when I put that shock collar on, if we had any PETA people here, that you're just like, I can't believe he said shock collar. Well, I did. I said that because sometimes we have to discipline our dog. And it's the only thing that he understands. And it just, it's like AT&T, you just reach out and touch somebody. But he needs an attitude adjustment. And whenever he thinks, because there's a scripture, it says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. The end thereof is the way of death. And we all know this because we have all... We've all messed up. If we'll just be honest with ourselves, we've all messed up. But here's what I want to challenge you with this evening is to take inventory of yourself. Is there something in your life that you have said, that's just the way I am, and I'm not going to change? Or that's the way God made me. And God's up there going, no, I didn't make you that way. You did that yourself. So I want to challenge you with that this evening, because there's some things that we don't have all figured out. Amen? Turn with me to Philippians, the book of Philippians chapter 2. This will really bring into focus where we want to go this evening, because the challenge that we all have is, I can't emphasize this enough, so please hear me out. We all fight a battle with the flesh. The battle is, what do I want? And then if we are born again and we belong to Christ and we've given our life to God, then we all fight that battle between what I fight the battle between what I want and what God wants. What I want in the flesh and what God wants for me in the spirit. What I think is good for me and what God says is good for me. So there's always a battle going on. And many times we as Christians, stay with me, we as Christians, we fluctuate between what we think we should do. We live this way sometimes in the flesh, and then we live sometimes this way in the spirit. And so my challenge to you is to be able to recognize when you are living in the flesh, when you're making decisions, because Satan is the father of deception. That means he's better at it than anybody else. And what that really means is that he can get by you and you don't even know he's getting by you. He's tempting you and he's taking you places that you don't even think you're going, but you think you're doing the right thing. It seemed like the right thing to do. So my challenge with your attitude, it says the scripture here, it's going to tell us that our challenge is to have the mind of Christ. To think the way God thinks. Okay? Okay, here we go. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, if, everybody say if. Yes. It's a big word here. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Is there anybody here that has ever been encouraged because you were united with Christ? Oh, yeah, that's why we're here. So if you have that, if you have been encouraged by being united with Christ, what he's saying here is take that mindset that you have and walk in that mindset that you have been united with Christ, but then give that mindset away to other people, because your attitude will determine your success in life. It'll determine your eternal home, your attitude about what you want versus what God wants for you. So it says, if you have an encouragement, let's be encouraging. And then it says, everybody say if. If any comfort from his love. Anybody ever been comforted from his love? Oh, man. His love is overwhelming, is it not? So if we've been comforted by his love, we walk in that love, and that's our attitude. It's an attitude of encouragement. It's an attitude of love. Everybody say if. If any common sharing in the Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit has shown you something that has made you alive and is something that has been beneficial to your walk and to your life and your lifestyle, the Holy Spirit has given you information that helps you in your hard time, then you take that Holy Spirit information and you give that to somebody else, because somebody else may be going through some of the same things that you went through. But you see, if we're quiet about it and we're like secret service Christians, we don't want anybody to know us, know about, oh, he's a Christian, then we can't help anybody. We won't be encouraging. We won't love people. And we won't walk in the Spirit either, because our attitude is like that old saying that everybody said, don't ever talk about religion. Whoever said that? Don't talk about politics and don't talk about religion. You with me? I mean, all my life growing up, people said, don't, you know who said that? The devil. He wants to keep you quiet. So talk about politics. Don't be afraid to talk about politics. Everybody else is. Why wouldn't the church talk about politics? The government can't dictate to the church that you can't talk about politics. If they do, we're going to do it anyway. Last time I checked, it's one of them major amendments, freedom of speech. That's right. Tell them I said hi. If any common sharing in the Spirit, everybody say if. This is a big one. If any tenderness and compassion. Has God ever been tender with you when you were, like, as Kate's saying this evening, when we are weak, he says, I am strong. Is there any time when you were just a hurting in your life and God brought a tenderness to you and he surrounded you and he just kind of gave you a hug and he showed you compassion? So when he does that, when he shows tenderness and he shows compassion to you, he doesn't give it to you so you can be a tenderness or a compassion hoarder. Compassion hoarders. That's what a lot of Christians are. They're just a bunch of hoarders. No, he gave it to you to give away so you could get some fresh compassion and some fresh tenderness from him. But if you continue to hoard it, then you'll become stale, and they call that the Dead Sea in Israel. You'll become a Dead Sea because you have no outlet. If any tenderness and compassion, and then Paul said this, he said, then make my joy complete. He said, this is how we're going to complete my joy, by being like-minded and having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Being united with the same love, having one spirit and one mind. There is a challenge for any church to be one-minded. Y'all looking awful holy. That's why we don't vote around here. Voting is just divisive, so we're just not going to do it. Preacher, I want to vote. Well, go someplace else. We're not going to vote here. You with me? We're going to vote for Jesus, and when he wants, we're going to do it. Now, we have people that tell us, that have authority over us here for sure. But what I want to say to you is that it's not about me agreeing with what you want, or even you agreeing with what I want. But it's about us agreeing with what God wants. In your marriage, see, when Darla and I, when we have an argument, you know what causes fights and arguments and division? It's disagreements. Only, that's all it is. All it is, when you get sideways with somebody, the only reason you're sideways with them is because you disagree. But we become more passionate when it's closer to home. And so what he's saying here, he's saying it's not about me agreeing with Darla or Darla agreeing with me. It's about us agreeing with God, because I might be right or Darla may be right, but God is always right, or neither one of us may be right. But we have to be humble enough to know when we're not doing right and to submit to God. So he says, be of one mind. And by the way, that's why we have church. So we can come together and we can reason among ourselves. We can study the Word of God and we can bring things that are in the Word of God out. And we become one mind for one purpose, for one cause. But if we're not careful, the church will be influenced by the world. And it goes back to the flesh living it out. Or the Spirit. Are we going to walk in the Spirit as a church, or are we going to walk in the way that the world wants us to walk as a church? And it's always a choice. It's always a decision. That's the reason we need to know what the Word of God says. I need to keep moving. Verse 3, do nothing. Everybody say nothing. Now in the Greek, nothing means nothing. I just want to emphasize this. That's all I'm trying to do, is that nothing means nothing. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Do I have any selfish people here tonight? My name is Randy Weaver. I can be kind of selfish. Raise your hand if you can. Now, the rest of y'all, if you don't raise your hand, we got altars down here for you. I mean, isn't it just the flesh nature to be selfish? So it says, don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, being humble, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus. That's our attitude. It says, in your conversations with one another, have the same attitude, the attitude of gratitude, the attitude of love, the attitude of encouragement, the attitude of compassion, the attitude of caring for one another above your own needs. My goodness, isn't that a challenge for somebody this evening? Anybody being challenged yet this evening? This is like, you can't do it by yourself, by the way. You can't do any of this by yourself. But through Christ, he'll give you the strength to do this stuff. But you have to make choices every day when you get out of bed that you're going to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. But here, it's a great scripture in Philippians chapter 2. Then it says, who being in very nature God, talking about Jesus, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Here comes Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus has always existed. God is not confined to time. We can't comprehend that in our finite minds because God is infinite with no beginning and no end. But what we have a challenge with is realizing that from the very beginning, Jesus was and is God. But he came down, was born as a virgin, and became a baby in a manger. But he did all of this. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word, meaning Jesus, was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. He came down so that we could understand his attitude toward us. You with me? So it says, rather he made himself nothing, taking on, listen to this, the very nature of a servant. Man, if you weren't challenged before, you got to be challenged now. Jesus came. Here's God himself, all powerful God, all knowing God, a God that is not confined by time, a God that can do anything, all powerful. And he comes down to earth, and instead of getting his lightning bolt out, like I would do, like you would do probably. He took on the form, he put the towel over his arm, and he took on the form of a servant, and he began to serve common man with the goodness of God. And he performed all of these things. He encouraged people, he loved people, he healed people, he walked with them, and he even went so far as to give his own life as a total sacrifice, as a servant of the living God, as God himself, so we could come in to his presence and have access to him. This is the attitude that he has challenged us with this evening. Is anybody feeling challenged yet? It's interesting, isn't it? Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even to the death of a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and every earth and on earth under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, because he went through this sacrificial time and through this time of being a servant. God raised him from the dead. He's exalted above every man. And at some point in time, listen to this, every knee, the most heathenest of the heathens is going to bow down. And they're going to declare, because they have come. And this is what I want to challenge you with. They've come into the presence of an awesome God. I don't think we really recognize the awesomeness. Is that a word? Awesomeness? Awesomeness of God. I don't think we get that. We can't comprehend that. But when we actually see God face to face, it will drive every knee down. And in his presence, every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. So what that tells me is we can either bow down now, because we have the choice to do it now, or we can bow down later, because we will be forced to do it later. We do it voluntarily now because it's a choice that we make, because everybody that walks out of these doors, when you walk out of these doors, you can say, well, I didn't get nothing out of that deal. Or you can say, man, I'm challenged to have the attitude of Christ. Because you have that option this evening and that choice to follow Jesus and to take on his attitude and the humility and the job of a servant. I don't know about you, but I'm still being challenged. This is the fourth time I've preached this, and I'm still challenged with it. So it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue. Everybody say continue. It's one thing to make a declaration on a Monday night when the Holy Spirit is convicting us. But it's a whole new thing to continue to do it 3, 4, 5, 6 months down the line, 5, 10, 15 years down the line. It says continue in these things. So what we're learning this evening is something that God wants us to do for the rest of our lives. Amen? So it says continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Don't be caught up in the deception of the world, but work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill, listen to this, his good pleasure. We are here to fulfill his good pleasure. And I know some of y'all are disappointed because you thought you were here to fulfill your good pleasure. We just want to have fun. I just want to have fun. That's all I want to do. I just retire and have fun, as the old people say. It's not about just having fun. So it says, do everything. Here we have that wonderful word again, everything. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Anybody done any grumbling in the last weekend? I did some Saturday night, went to a roping. And the first roping went longer than I thought it would. The grand opening of Caney Creek Cowboy Church. Pastor Mark Grimes, great guy, loves Jesus with all his heart, just so sold out to it. But the first roping went pretty long, and then I was thinking I shouldn't have stayed for the second roping. Now, don't judge me, but I like to be in bed Saturday night by about 8 o'clock, reading my sermon, and then I try to fall asleep by 9 o'clock. Don't judge me, it's just the way I am. But at 8 o'clock, the roping was halfway over, and the lights went out. And I'm trying not to grumble, and I'm trying not to complain, but in my mind, I was grumbling. Then Pastor Mark, he comes over and he talks to me, you know, what should I do? And I was like, just protect your name. And that's all we ever do. When something goes wrong, we try to protect our name because, a lot of people have too good of memories, and they'll judge you for one mess up. So just protect your name. And so he decided he's going to give everybody their money back. And so at 9 o'clock, he said that we're going to give everybody their money back. So I was the first in line. I wasn't grumbling, but I was ready to go. And then about 10 after 9, they just got ready to start giving their money back, and the lights came on. And they said, let's rope. And I'm like, no, let's go home. Some of my friends are here that were there too. They were thinking the same thing, I'm sure. I know. As it turns out, I won money, and then I had a good attitude again. And I was talking with Jim on the way home. I said, isn't it something how we let our attitude go like this? When things don't go our way, it's down here. When they go our way, it's here. These things should not be. And I was telling Jim, I didn't feel good about my attitude that night. I felt convicted about my attitude. And I still do. I mean, I'm like, I don't like that in me. I try not to let my highs get too high or my lows get too low. Things go real bad, don't get too low with it. When things go great, just to celebrate it and enjoy it, but don't let it get into your head too far. Amen. So it says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Oh man, that arguing business. Then it says, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. You know why a lot of times we feel comfortable arguing and complaining? It's because we live in a world that accepts arguing and complaining. This world out here, they love you when you're a complainer. They want to hear all about your complainers. And it just makes me sick when Christians agree with a bunch of complainers on Facebook. Oh, yeah, that's right. They're a bunch of jerks. Shut up. Why would we join in on things that grieve the heart of God? Glad you come to church tonight. I mean, this is health to your bones. Because positive people are more healthy people than those negative people. You want to be healthy? Get positive and stop encouraging people around you to be negative and complainers. Quit encouraging them. We as a church, we should be lifting them up and encouraging them when they do good things. That's what it's saying. Our attitude. It's a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. So here's what happens. Your attitude, it starts right here in your heart, and that's why God says for us to protect our heart. At any cost, guard your heart. And I told somebody last week, someone was coming to go to work for us. And I told him, I said, you've got to have alligator skin, but a soft heart. You got to be strong-skinned people to work at a church. But you can't ever allow your heart to be hardened. And so what we're saying here is that your attitude starts in your heart. Then it comes to your head, and then it comes out of your mouth. And then you begin to act on your attitude. That's why we've got to really pay attention to what we are doing and how we're living our lives. Are we living a life like Christ has asked us to do in these first few verses, or are we living our life as arguers or complainers that have allowed our heart to be hardened for whatever issue? I mean, a lot of us, we can use the excuse that we come from a bad situation that nobody likes us and everybody hates us, and we're going to go eat worms because nobody likes us and we deserve to have a bad attitude. You can either live that way or you can live this way. I can overcome anything through Christ who gives me strength. I know that I might be at the bottom of the barrel, but I'm going to dig my way out of this because God said he's going to help me. He said he would never leave me. He'd never forsake me, that he would be a friend that sticks even closer than a brother. And you can have an attitude of gratitude, and you can worship your way through your problem, or you can stay in your problem and be ugly about it and hate everybody and be miserable for the rest of your life. You can have a choice to make this evening if you're going to rise up above your situation, whether you win the rope or you don't win the rope, and whether you're doing good financially or whether you're not doing good financially. You can have a good attitude, but it's a choice that only you can make. An attitude is much more than an opinion and much more than a mere feeling. I got great illustrations about that. Solomon, his heart, here's the wisest man in the world. This is for all aged people. But Solomon, he was David's son. He asked for wisdom. God gave him wisdom. God blessed him more than he blessed any other king financially, and he prospered greatly. But toward the end of his life, he went south on things. So this is the word to everybody like over 50. No, I'm serious. You got to finish strong, because you'll be more tempted the older you'll get to slide back and not to be as responsible as you were when you were 40. Because it's something about us old people, we can get attitudes. We can cop an attitude. Well, them grandkids don't like us, or somebody don't like us. We got, you can find any reason, or no, excuse me. You can find any excuse to have a bad attitude, but you can always find a reason to have a good attitude. So when you're 40, make up your mind. When you're 50, you're not going to get a bad attitude. When you're 20, make up your mind. When you're 30, that you're going to get better. You're not going to be bitter. And when you're 20 or 18 and you're trying to find your purpose in life or your vocation in life or what God's called you to do, realize that He's going to help you through to make good decisions about your future and have hope and peace about the, listen to this word, the process. Embrace the process of life, because God will bring you peace through the process. The key to all of this, fasten your seatbelt. The key to all of this is worship. Amen. You learn to worship God. He'll help you through your problems. He'll be with you when things are up. He'll be with you when things are up. But you learn to worship Him and praise Him in the good times, praise Him in the bad times, praise Him all day long, because He is worthy of your praise regardless of what's going on in your life. Good preaching. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude and you have not kept my commandments and my decrees which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Don't raise your hand, but is there anybody here that you've lost some of your kingdom? Some of the things that you had, it's been taken away from you because of your attitude. This world is cruel, and we open the way for the enemy to come into our lives. I'm telling you, if you're married, figure out a way to stay married. I'm not going to condemn you for divorcing somebody in the past, but what I am going to say is stay married to the one you're married to right now. Figure out how to have an attitude. Try to find something that's good about them. I mean, you liked them at one point in time. But don't beat yourself up for choices you made, or maybe the kingdom, maybe you lost a lot of things in your life. But don't beat yourself up for it, because today is a new day, and the devil will bring back your past, and he'll bring up the shame of your past. And the only reason he does that is because he knows good and well you can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about your past, but you can do something about your future. You can do something about today. Now is the only time you have. So it's a new day. When I was growing up, I had to mow the lawn at the church on Saturday afternoon. And we had one of them pushing lawnmowers that had no engine. And all my neighborhood friends were playing football right across the street from the church. And we had a big yard at the church. And I had to mow the lawn while they were playing football. And my mama told me this, because she could read me like a book. She said, Randy, you can either mow the lawn with a good attitude and God will bless you, or you can mow the lawn with a bad attitude and God won't bless you. Either way, you're going to mow the lawn. Might as well get blessed for it. So that's what I'm going to say to you. You having a rough time? Keep a good attitude, because either way, you got to go through what you're going through. And if you have a good attitude, chances are you're going to go through it in a lot better way, and you're going to be blessed more. Amen? Amen. Either way. So as I close, attitudes are very powerful. And I want to talk about briefly about some of the societal challenges that we have today in our society. We hear today, we hear that money and success will make you happy, that it'll bring happiness. And we watch TV, we watch commercials, and if we got this new car, then everything's going to be great if you just have this new car. And then they have financing for everything. And cars are good. I mean, especially the Chevrolet cars down there in Conroe. They're good. Right, Donnie? This is being recorded, too. But consumerism can get to us, and we can buy into a lot of consumerism, and we get buy things online, and we get this little rush when we get what we want. But let me tell you something. Those things don't make you happy, not even the Chevrolet cars. Now, they'll make you happy for a while, but they won't bring the peace that God brings to you. One of the ones I like the best is the one that it's one for bald guys growing hair. If you use this product, you'll be more secure with yourself, and you can have more fun and cuter girls. And I'm like, I'm pretty secure. We as bald guys, we don't need that stuff. We don't have to have hair to be secure. My security company. Thank you, Jason. Any bald guys out there, you good. You're okay. Yeah, thank you. I'm good. It ain't no big deal. I don't need hair stuff to make me secure. I got a bar of soap and a wash rag. That's all I need. You complicate too many things. Societal challenges. I want it my way. We got customizable bank accounts, Burger King slogans, have it your way. The abortion issue. Women say, I have my rights, but God says, what about his rights? And he says, what about the rights of the little baby? The ones that can't speak for themselves. What about their rights? Divorce rates, genetic experimentation, the liberality of sex. That's telling God that he messed up when we are not the gender he made us to be. God, you messed up when you made me a boy or you made me a girl. Listen, God don't mess up. You are what he made you. Do the best you can with it. Live with it. Cohabitation. Cohabitation. Well, we love each other. We're going to move in together because we're in love. No, you're not. You're in heat. You're not in love. Am I right? That ain't love. Don't be confusing love. Live with somebody for 20 years and then you'll know what love is. Societal challenges. All people are created evil. Equal. Evil. Well, he said that too. I can preach about that, not even thinking about it. He says, rebellion is born in the heart of a child, so they are created that way. But all men are created. The Constitution, you know, I never did agree with it. It says all men are created equal. I mean, I go to ropers all the time, and there's guys that rope so much better. We're not equal. They rope a lot better. It's not fair. I'm not equal. We got constitutional, the homosexual agenda, the attack on our Constitution, the border wall. I mean, we can get real, real passionate. Listen, we can get real passionate about some of these causes, about shutting the back door and opening the front door, but keep the back door closed. The border control, labor laws inside and outside of the USA, the gun control, gun rights. Listen, you say, well, preacher, why are you saying this? The reason I'm saying it is because a lot of Christians don't act like Christians when they get a hold of some of these causes, societal causes. They act just like everybody else out there, and hatred is no way to get your way. We still got to be Christians no matter what we believe in. We got to love the unlovable. I love all these people. But that doesn't mean I agree with them, or the scripture doesn't agree with them. Because, see, here's the deal. I'll tell you this on Monday night. We have to. I'm going to talk about voting for a second, if that's okay. Voting. See, they tell you, you can't tell anybody who to vote for. Well, listen, I'll tell you who to vote for. Vote for the most moral person you can find that's running for office. That's not hard, because a lot of these platforms are that these different political organizations have are very anti-God. You won't get none of this at the Foo Foo Church. And my last one is that truth is relevant. Well, truth is something that's, it's just Oprah Winfrey, for example. She has the acceptance of magic and mysticism. She made the statement that all roads lead to heaven. Well, that's like saying all roads lead to Galveston. It just, no, probably not. Gracious. So we should strive to have the attitude of Christ. And it's a choice that we make. God chose this. This was God's attitude toward us, that he would leave heaven so that we could have eternal life. There's a guy named Gregory Nassenius. He wrote this in 381 A.D. about Jesus. He said he began his ministry by being hungry, yet he is the bread of life. Jesus ended his earthly ministry by being thirsty, yet he is the living water. Jesus was weary, yet he is our rest. Jesus paid tribute, yet he is our king. Jesus was accused of having a demon, yet he cast out demons. Jesus wept, yet he wipes away our every tear. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, yet he redeemed the world. Jesus was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he is the good shepherd. Jesus died, yet by his death, he destroyed the power of death. It cost Jesus everything. Someone said, Martin Luther said this, he said, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. If you choose to follow Jesus, it will cost you your will, but it'll be worth everything, because he already paid the price so you could have eternal life and you could have peace in your heart. The world can't give you the attitude of Christ, but through him you can have what he's called you to do. So the attitude of Christ is what exactly? He made himself available. We have to be available for him. He was humble. He was willing. He was humble. He was available. And he was willing. I wanted to tell you this. I've used this illustration before, but I think it's real relevant. I had a friend of mine, and I know a lot of guys that have won world championships when it comes to different rodeo events. But I had a friend of mine that won the world championship roping calves. And he had worked all year long prior to going out and roping for that 1 year that he won the world. And whenever he went to the national finals, he actually won the world. And that's what we say, he won the world. But he said whenever he went to his hotel room, he had never experienced such disappointment. Because he said this, he said, he had just found out a month prior to that his wife had cancer. He found out that his wife was going to have a baby. He had spent all of his money and actually gone in debt to get that gold buckle. They were living in a little trailer house that had a hole in the floor. And he said, I never felt so empty. I had won the world. And what they gave him was a gold buckle. And he said he walked into his hotel room, and he said he didn't even turn on the light. And he said he threw that buckle on the bed, and he said the words to that old country western song came to my mind, is that all there is? The scripture says this, it says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? The truth is that there's nothing more valuable than your personal relationship with the God that has the power over death, over hell, and over the grave. He's the giver of life. He says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for helping us with our attitude. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the example of how to live. We find it challenging this evening, at the least. We find it challenging to follow you closely the way you've designed for us to follow you. We accept the challenge that you've put in us this evening. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to understand your grace and your mercy as we grow in you, and as we embrace the process of life and acknowledge you in all of our ways, so you'll give us direction. Minister to everybody in this room, everybody watching online. Change our hearts, oh God. Mold us and shape us, oh God, after your will and after your plan. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This evening, the Bible says this. It says we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Basically, I just want to say this to you. The only reason that God doesn't want us to sin is because it's detrimental to our health, to our spiritual health. So this evening, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, maybe if you haven't, you just haven't been living for Him. Maybe you've been looking for this peace that only God can give in a lot of different directions. I want you to know this evening, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. He's the only one. And what you strive for in looking for other things, He can give you tonight. But it's a gift of God. You can't earn this, so you're going to have to humble yourself at some point in time and accept the free gift of eternal life, because you can't pay for it. It says it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So this evening, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, maybe if you haven't, you just haven't been living for Him, simply by raising your hand, say, Preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make Him the Lord of my life. Slip your hand up high. Anybody, Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I need to make Him the Lord of my life. Slip your hand up high. Anybody, Preacher, that's me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I want to ask you a question, and I want to ask you this. Is there anybody here that needs an attitude adjustment? You need to adjust some things in your life, and the Holy Spirit spoke to you tonight about that. Yeah, I want to pray for you. We're going to invite you to come up and pray at the altar when we get through praying, or we have a prayer team if you need special prayer. But I want to pray for you all that raised your hands. Can we all just raise our hands and surrender to God to exclaim our gratitude for His love? Lord, we raise our hands in surrendering to You, oh God, realizing that we are human beings that need a Savior. We need your touch of our lives. I pray, oh God, that you would purify us in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, and in our souls. Oh God, I pray that you would transform the way we think, Lord, that we would not use the excuse that's just the way I am. Lord, help us to be the way you have made us to be, not the way we think we should be. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to have that attitude adjustment, oh God, right now, to where we choose life and we choose to live according to your word. We choose to live according to your will. Lord, may we have a passion for other people so we can give them your compassion. We can give them your love. We can give them the joy that you've given us and the encouragement in you, oh God, so that other people, when they look at us, they'll know that we have been with you and that we've adopted your attitude. And it's not an attitude that comes from the world, but it's an attitude of love and perseverance and passion. We thank you for it. We love you. We expect amazing things this evening from ourselves because you have transformed us with your love. And we thank you for it. And we accept it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We love y'all. God bless you. We got our prayer team down here. We'd love to have you come spend some time in prayer. It'll do your heart good. We love you.